So here's the deal. So this is supposed to be show number 40.
Yes.
But Sean's not here.
Okay.
And next week is going to be like our big, hopefully our big guest with Mark Ehrman. Not Mark Thurman.
So
not Mark Furman.
Big deal about next week's show.
I'm thinking this should be show 41 today. And then next week, we'll record show number 40.
How about 39 and a half?
Well, that's silly.
Okay. It's way out of line.
Yeah, really. Well, I mean, come on, dude. Let's.
All right.
On.
All right. I think that's
fair. Can we do show 41 today?
So there's nothing going to be on the computer.
This show? Of course it will. It'll go up. It'll go from 39 to 41, and then show 40 will show up.
I think that's fair. Sure.
I really like today being 40 because it's the new year and you're starting out new. And
I'll take you out to the back. What's with the pillow?
No.
Well, Allie is
adorable.
All right.
What? No, I mean,
it's a cute way of looking at it.
Okay, I guess we could.
No, it's just 41. My input. You can do whatever you want. I'm just thinking, I like sequential.
I'm in my vagina.
What was that? So this is show 40?
No, 40.
No, it could be 40. It could be 40.
All right.
All right.
40.
All right. All right.
Next week can be 40.
Next week will be a kicking ass 41.
Next week will be 40.
Again.
Yeah.
It'll also be show 40.
Or actually, it could be number one next week. And you could start the countdown all over. Actually, this could be show number one of the new year.
Yeah, no, because it's
our
like,
big anniversary's coming up.
Here's the thing. If next week is show number one, it's like you don't want to start your checks at number 101.
Okay.
Because it looks like you don't have any bank history, right?
Right.
So we want to get to like bigger numbers.
Okay.
All right. Sherry says that this has to be, we have to be done in order. So this is.
It's the way my mind works.
Okay. That's fine. For weeks, she says nothing.
Right.
Nothing.
And now, don't screw up the number system! What are you doing?
She's worried we're going to cross the streams or something. All right. This is show number 40. Okay, everybody ready? In 3, 2, 1.
This is the Schnauzer Logic Radio Company.
And this is Schnauzer Logic. It's episode number 40, or 41, depending on who you talk to, being recorded on Wednesday. It is the 3rd of January in the year 2007.
Groundbreaking, critically acclaimed, smash hits, HBO original series. And now, the HBO original series.
Schnauzer Logic.
There once was a woman who had gone a long time without so much as the hope of having a relationship. When she finally picked up a handsome-looking guy and went out with him, her friends were naturally curious as to how it went. "What's he like?" said the woman's friend the first day after the big event. "Oh, he's fine, I guess. He's a musician, you know." "Does he have class?" says the friend. "Well, most of the time, yes, but I don't think I'm going to go out with him again." "Oh, why not?" says the friend. "Well, to tell you the truth, he's a French horn player, so I guess it's just his habit, but every time we made love, he stuck his fist in my ass."
Clinton, liberals, dittos!
I'm Dr. Mora, and I'm my poodle's mother.
You disappointed in me? Today on All Things Considered to Death, Moss.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, baby, show me your...
Son of East to my friends, Son of East, and welcome! You have managed to tune in, latch on, and otherwise download that stream of bits known around the world as Schnauzer Logic. Yes, this is Schnauzer Logic, the podcast. It is episode number 40 or 41, being recorded on Wednesday. It is the 3rd of January in the year 2007, and my name is Robin Goldstein. I'm your host, I'm your buddy, I'm your pal. I'm also a straight white Buddhist vegetarian lesbian fraternity boy trapped in the body of a recovering transsexual woman patent attorney with a bizarre sense of humor and a master's degree in city planning, and I'm thrilled and delighted to have each and every one of you here with us, and as we begin a brand new year of Schnauzer Logic, we're going to have a great, great show for you today. We have, we got some great people in the studio. We got Parvis is in the studio with us. Sherry Stevens is in the studio with us. Sean Meehan's going to be on the phone. Jathan Nathanson's going to be on the phone. Eliza Alfertig is going to be on the phone. We're going to get caught up with what everybody did over the long break. We were off last week. People did various things. I went to Vegas, baby. Yeah. We'll talk about that. Give you a little preview about what's happening in this new year and assorted stuff and nonsense. So let's not postpone this any longer. Let's give a brand new 2007 Son of Vista to our good friend Mr. Parviz Vitali.
Son of Vista, my friends. Son of Vista, my friends.
Never gets old, does it?
Never gets old. That, nothing like that. Never gets old. But I must say, the opening joke.
Uh-oh, yeah.
My New Year's resolution.
Yes.
Is to be everything that comes out of my mouth and everything that comes into my head has to be morally sound.
Really?
I was offended by that joke.
When are you going to leave the house and not watch TV?
I was offended by a fist in the ass. Is that correct?
Well,
yes.
I just think we should turn a new leaf for 2007.
All right.
I brought the Bible and
no more fisting jokes.
No more fisting jokes. Okay. All right, screw that. I must make a confession though, and I'm only saying this because it's fresh and it's hot.
Okay.
Do my feet smell at all?
I don't know.
Honestly.
You know, if your feet smell and your nose run, you're built upside down.
All right. Just wanted to get that out there.
Yeah, she's laughing at
it. I got it.
Yeah. Yeah. That's just funny.
Yeah. It is funny.
Right. Really? You have Prince Charles in a can? No. Prince Edward in a can?
Prince Edward.
Is it? No. Yeah. What's the tobacco? It's Prince something, right?
I think it's whatever. Edward in a can.
Yeah.
It's an old...
Yeah.
But my feet don't smell. A little bit?
Now that you mention it.
Does it?
No, they don't.
It's like a dog fart.
All right.
Is that what you spray on your... No?
No, I just got back from work, and I haven't had a chance to freshen up.
All right. thanks for hijacking the intro of the show to talk about your shoulders.
Wow.
And let's say 2007 greeting and Son of Vista to Sherry Stevens.
Son of Vista.
All right.
Do your feet smell?
My feet don't smell.
There you go. And her shit
and
don't
I'm not,
stink.
And that's
wow.
true.
Hey, KenTureski.com.
KenTureski.com. Vote for the shit don't stink?
Her shit don't stink on Red
Peters.
Oh,
that's right.
Yes. Did you vote? I voted many times.
Absolutely. Many times.
No, you didn't. You haven't even been to the website once. Not even once. You're too busy smelling your own feet.
I've been working 60 hours a week.
Oh, that's, poor baby.
That's actually really good.
That's not good. It's a lot of work. During the holidays?
No, it's good.
I haven't seen anybody.
You can work Christmas Day.
No, I work Christmas Eve, and I work
Eve.
Dave after Christmas. It's the same thing.
The Dave after Christmas?
Dave after Christmas.
Dwight before Christmas.
No, I've worked the Dave after. No.
The Dave after. Are you going to explain to the audience the whole 40, 41 episode?
Sure, but first let's say hello to happy 2007 to Kip Adada. 2007 to Michaels Whirling.
Stroke
we got some news
low.
Coming on there. 2007 to Dick Cheney, Harry Whittington, Whitney. Sammy?
English, motherfucker! Do you speak it?
Allie? Allie 2?
No.
And Jerry Seinfeld.
Stop laughing. It's not fun.
Are you going to get a soundbite from Gerald Ford?
We were supposed to have him on the show next week. I'm so bummed. It was so... Also, this year, we got great guests coming up this year. James Taylor. We got him coming up in March. No, James Brown. Oh, that wasn't funny.
James Brown. Yeah, it wasn't. No, you screwed it up. James Brown.
I changed the station for one moment, and something halfway interesting happened. You bastard.
I'm sorry.
How about Peter O'Boyle? Week after?
Peter O'Boyle?
Is it O'Boyle?
No.
It's Peter Boyle?
Yeah, it's Peter right. Boyle.
How about Peter O'Toole? Is he alive?
Yeah, Peter O'Boyle. That's great.
I threw an Irish thing.
Oh,
okay,
sorry.
Let's stop this before we get to Saddam Hussein.
All right.
Oh, Saddam, my uncle.
He's not dead. Available. Yeah, he is dead. Still dead. That was horrible.
That was horrible.
I haven't seen it, though, on...
Is it on YouTube?
It is. I refuse
to... Is it really?
Oh, yeah, sure. Oh.
But only YouTube.
It's opposed to...
Saddam.com?
MSNBC or Fox News Network?
Well, you know, the story behind this is that somebody there had a camera phone and they shot the whole thing. And I guess they announced this morning that they figured out who it was who shot the whole thing. And I guess they've arrested it. I mean, talk about inciting more violence. This is a pretty horrible thing to happen anyhow. And
I'm surprised they had a cell phone.
Because...
They don't even, it's just, do they have cable over there?
Yeah.
Yes, of course they do.
All right.
Okay.
North Korea, that's a little different story, but, right. You know.
Very nice.
All right. Okay. A camera phone? Thanks. I don't even have a camera phone.
Thanks for...
I got to hang somebody to get a camera phone?
We have to hang around here to... All right. Okay. Anyhow.
Was it sick?
Did we do this?
Did you see it?
Yeah, we did this. All right, we did this.
Stop laughing. It's not fun.
Okay, we did that. All right. Was it sick? I don't know. I refuse to watch it.
Oh, yeah.
I don't need to see that. I don't need to see another human being hanged.
Oh, how terrifying is that to know that second you're going to die by hanging? What a terrifying way to go.
I think, well, I mean, I feel that way about capital punishment in general. I mean, I certainly understand the emotional need for retribution. I mean, it's a human emotion. I understand that intellectually. And I can certainly understand that if your family was the subject of the barbarism that was visited upon what thousands and thousands by Hussein, you might rejoice in his death.
Yeah.
I mean, I intellectually I understand that, but as a Buddhist, it's hard for me not to ultimately feel that violence begets violence, you know. And so, I don't think at the very least I don't think we should be taking any pleasure.
Yeah.
In the murder.
If Saddam was tried in California, he could have got off, right? In Simi Valley, right?
Wow. So what's on deck for this show?
Wow.
What are we talking about today?
I'm cranking these out left and right. I want to open it with that joke. That's a terrible joke. It's a good joke.
You're upset with me about the French horn joke.
I'm upset. No, I'm not. I am upset about that.
You don't even know if you're upset.
I don't know what I'm upset about.
Did you listen to any of the shows over the break?
Absolutely.
Oh, yeah?
Uh-huh.
But I'm just more excited to be here. I haven't been here. It feels like forever.
Yeah.
And every time I come here, I just kind of tinkle, and then I leave.
Okay. How are you?
I'm doing good.
Good.
What other New Year's resolutions did you make, Parviz?
Oh, I haven't had time to make one yet. I've been working.
You just said that you're not going to listen to anything that...
Vile
that
and
pollutes
morally...
your mind.
Yeah, pollutes my mind.
Yeah,
so do you have a habit of... So are you like...
Truthfully, Sherry, it's all bullshit.
Okay. I'll let it go.
Yeah. Well, no, there's nothing to let go. I didn't make a resolution or anything like that.
Have you ever made a resolution?
Yeah, I think I did. Maybe when I was 15 or 16, I made a resolution.
You know what my resolutions used to be when I was a kid?
Oh, no one wants to hear that one.
No, we don't want to know.
What was it like when you got to be 16, you weren't going to make any more resolutions? Is that what the resolution?
Well, no, I thought the resolution was I might have been, I don't really remember. It might have been weight loss. Who knows what it was at that time? Might have been getting a chick. Who knows?
You notice how your voice is really high and then it goes down really low. And then it goes up really high. And then it goes down really low. What's that all about? I'm wondering myself. Are you like your own ventriloquist dummy?
I do work on voices on my own.
Hey, Parviz, what you got in the box?
It's all right.
It's all right. It's all right. It's good. It's good. Iranian? Iraqi. Okay, good. Goodbye. You were saying.
Oh, I don't know.
You have a resolution.
No, when I was a kid, when I was about that age, my resolutions were things like, I'm going to stop biting my fingernails. I know. I mean, it's just...
Oh, yeah, turn his mic off. Okay, that's good. You go ahead. He's off.
That's the only one I can remember from that time. I mean, and then, of course, there's always, I'm going to lose 20 pounds. I'm going to... What are the other resolutions that people usually make?
No more sex with poultry.
Or French horn players.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Speechless, huh?
Wow.
Speechless.
Wow.
You never heard of the famous...
poultry joke?
Santa Clara chicken fucker?
No, explain that to me.
Oh, running out of time. We're coming up on the top of the hour.
We got to take a break.
We have to say, first of all, we have to say we're almost coming up on 1 year anniversary of
we
our
are.
Show.
February. Oh, thank you.
February 1st.
So today is technically, if you're going linearly, as some people... feel the need to do, if you know what I mean, would be our 40th show.
Correct.
But Sean's not here today. We're going to have him on the phone, but he's not here today. He's not feeling 100%. He had some medical stuff done today, and so he's not feeling 100%, so he's going to join us. And we'll get into it a little bit more later, but next week, I think we're going to have like an amazing guest. We're going to have one of the founders of Think Film, which is a studio, one of these little indie studios that is known for films like Rollerball and Strangers with Candy and The Aristocrats. And, I mean, they just have this amazing slate of really interesting films. And I watched one the other night, and it turns out that I know one of the founders, who's actually the head of U.S. theatrical distribution, because he is the son-in-law of a good friend of mine's friend. So I said, would you try to get Mark on for a guest? And it was like, well, who are you and why should we have you on? So I wrote him this really nice letter asking him if he would be a guest on the show. And he wrote back and he said, it sounds really fun. I'd love to do it. So he like, you know, if my schedule permits, because the week after I'm going to Sundance, because it's the time of year when they buy all the films, right? They show all these films at Sundance Film Festival. So so I thought, well, next week we could have like a couple of really terrific guests and hopefully Sean will be better. We'll have him back in the studio. And so next week would be a great show 40. And this week should be something else.
Huh. So that's interesting, because I believe at show 10 I wasn't here and that was a landmark show, but yet we didn't change it to 11 and 10. You just went on with the big 10. Is that correct? So Sean has a higher status.
Was that the show that you interviewed Brian Cox?
No. I wasn't here.
I see.
I'm just learning a lot.
Okay. Well, but show 10 was
huge.
That's different.
It's huge.
That's much different. Anyhow, as you so correctly stated, we'll be coming up on our one-year anniversary.
February 1st
or February 2nd?
First.
Okay.
Yes. I wasn't
here for that show, so I don't remember. But February 1st.
Yes.
So only about a month away.
That's right. It's a
That's
big,
remarkable.
Big show.
It is a big show.
Yeah.
Are you
going
to be able to make it?
Do my best.
Okay.
What's going to be? It's going to be like the second, won't it?
I don't know.
Yeah.
Groundhog Day.
It's possible. Wow. It's also possible that when we do that show, we may actually also be on the air. I got a call from Michael Zwirling during the holidays.
You did?
I did. I think he wants to put Schnauzer Logic back on KSCO.
Woohoo!
What?
Uh-huh.
Yeah. This show?
Uh-huh. Why do you sound surprised? You're on this show.
This show? I mean, the way people love you, I just assume it's just you. I don't know.
I wouldn't do this show alone. This is not the Robin Goldstein show. The Robin Goldstein show. Hey, we're going to listen to the Robin Goldstein show. I mean, this is Schnauzer Logic.
That'd be a terrible theme song.
Yeah. Some countries, though, it's actually known as the Robin Goldstein show because it doesn't translate.
Because they can't pronounce our V's.
It's copyright problems. Exactly.
That's exciting. So when will you know and what?
So Michael is away this week, but he's going to try to call me from the ship. So we'll maybe get a Skype call from him. So we'll hopefully have a chance to talk to Michael and figure out what the deal is. And I think we could repurpose the show. We could rejigger the show. We could get rid of the dirty parts and clean it up.
And you have a whole 10 minutes to put on the air.
Oh.
No. We don't have to clean it up, though, do we? I mean...
Well, it means AM, commercial radio. We can't say poo.
Well, now...
No, what's funny is the first thing out of my mouth at today's show was New Year's resolution to be better and
not
cleaner.
Not our mouths.
See, my New Year's resolution was to be dirtier. And
exactly.
More
yeah.
Surly and... What else?
I don't know. That's a big word, certainly.
All right.
I don't know what's after that.
Here's
cantankerous.
What were you saying?
You had to take a break?
Should we?
I feel it. I kind of feel it.
Let's call Sean.
You're getting ready to take over the show, aren't you?
Not at all.
He's about to implode. I can see it.
I got stinky socks and I'm
They're
coming
steaming.
Home from work. They are.
And that, you know.
And I fucked up the lava lamp. I feel so badly about that.
I saw you got
and
another...
we didn't turn the light on. We didn't turn the sign on.
All right, let's take a break.
I see you got another lava lamp in the kitchen.
Yes. That was here last week.
Oh.
Or 2 weeks ago, actually. Were you here?
No.
See? There you go. All right.
Ever since I started school, I feel like I've been such a flake on this show. Have you noticed that?
And you have. Okay, so here's what we're going to do. We're take a break, play some tunage, come back on the other side. We'll try to get Sean on the phone. You're listening to Schnauzer Logic, our first show of 2007.
Woo!
Robin Goldstein, Parviz Vitali, Sherry Stevens. We're all inviting you. Please stick around.
I want to know why you like to dress up like a girl sometimes.
This is Schnauzer Logic.
Sure, that's all you've got to endure. All the total dicks, all the stuck up
Feel that in every way, this new radio series offers an unusual opportunity to combine broad popular appeal with truly distinguished radio treatment.
Oh, and this one time, at band camp, I stuck a flute in my pussy.
Presto!
Hello?
This is Schnauzer Logic.
Welcome back. We're 22 minutes into this episode of Schnauzer Logic. Being recorded on Wednesday, it is the 3rd of January, 2007, our first show of 2007. Woo-hoo!
Woo!
Robin Goldstein, host buddy and pal, straight white Buddhist vegetarian, lesbian, fraternity boy, chopped in the body of a recovering transsexual and patent attorney, www.schnauzerlogic.com.
I bet at the next week it's going to come out smooth.
You think?
Yeah, the show's a 40, 41, we're not sure.
Yeah.
It's show number 40.
All right. I did that a lot in Vegas. We're going to talk about that at the Danny Gann show.
Danny Gann.
Oh, we got to talk about that. Hold on a second. Hold on. Because if we're talking Vegas, we got to talk the man himself. Let's get him on. The man, the myth, the legend. You love him, you love him. Let's say a big Schnauzer Logic 2007. Welcome to Mr. Sean Meehan. Woo!
Zona Vista, wow. This is, you truly brought back the energy of Vegas with you.
Quit being such a suck ass.
Oh, man. How are you, my friend? Happy New Year.
Happy New Year. What, it's out of control there. Is there drinking?
Happy New Year.
Could be drinking.
There could be.
Drinking.
They're drinking milk from my nipples.
Whoa.
Wait a minute. Back up.
But I'm lactating right now. That's very funny, Jerry.
No.
With enough suction, it does come out.
Okay, stop.
I'm just letting you know.
Stop.
I'm Persian.
Stop.
Just like, okay, okay, talk to the wall, man. Just fucking
keep
stop.
Keep us up. We're going to take your
really,
mic away.
Really? Oh, man, he's shut out of a cannon. A milk cannon is what I'm talking about. Okay, stop it. I'm sorry.
How are you, Sean?
I am good. And yourself?
Good.
And how are you... how are we celebrating the new year here on Schnauzer Logic? I wasn't able to get over there because I'm a little under the weather, but it sounds so festive. It sounds like...
We told people the problem is that you were found standing over the body of a dead hooker, and the police asked you not to leave Santa Cruz County. So I think that's the story we're going to stick with right now.
That's actually not true, but they did take my passport.
Okay.
So I'm still just a person of interest. So that's the good news.
We're having a good time here. We're kind of getting back into it. You know, you lose a little bit of traction when you're off for a week, and we finish with such an incredible show, a 2.5 hour spectacular, punctuation. By a reading of The Night Before Christmas and Brian Cox. Jason Nathanson called me on Christmas Day, or Christmas Eve, actually, to tell me that once again he'd actually listened to the show that he was on. Always a good sign, I suppose. That was his Christmas miracle to us. And say that he was walking out of his gym again when he heard that, and at the end of it he heard, "I'm Brian Cox." And he burst out laughing out loud. So it's nice to know that Jason is amused by the work that we do here on our little podcast. And I mentioned to you, and I've told to Sherry and Parvis that it's a possibility we're looking at maybe getting back on the air, bringing the show back to KSCO.
I am excited about that possibility for reasons that I cannot explain. I really don't have the foggiest idea why this fascinates me, but it does.
Well, there's a lot of reasons. First of all, here's why you're excited about this, okay? First of all, I think it would be very cool to be back on KSCO. We've got a lot of friends over on KSCO. We have people who are in the area who used to listen to your show. They used to listen to my show, and they may not have computers. They may not be able to listen to the podcast in an easy way, but if they're driving around in their car whenever Michael puts the show on, it's an opportunity to get more listeners, people who would otherwise not know about what we're doing. That's sort of number one. Number two, we get the resources of a 10,000-watt radio station. What does that mean? Nothing. No, what it means is we get to book guests because we do a radio show on a 10,000-watt radio station. Much, much easier than telling people that we're talking to Parviz.
You know.
Was that necessary?
I don't know if you realize
that's what
this,
they
but
say.
That's opened a lot of doors for me.
Same.
Who do you have on your show? Well, we have Parviz.
Yeah.
You know he's Persian.
Yeah. Yeah. Have you heard his ding 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 ding? And?
You know, that's the kind of thing that Rosie just can't do, but Parviz pulls off with so much aplomb.
Acaloids, my friends.
A little higher. Acaloids, my friends.
Acaloids, my friends. So we're very excited about that. So Michael's out this week, but we're going to try to talk to him and see what we can do, and maybe we'll have a chance to be on the air. So we're very excited about that.
That sounds really cool.
Hey, Sean, really quickly. I'm sorry. No. Sorry to interrupt.
How's your grandmother?
No, Sean.
How's your grandma?
Sean, alive.
Sean, if you and I were spooning, and I quietly in your ear went, "Acaloids, my friend," would that at all turn you on?
I don't deal in hypotheticals. But we can try it next week.
Speaking of spooning,
I don't see why
that would be any different. Okay.
I don't know if you got the email that I sent you. I, as a Christmas gift to Sean, I registered the domain spinningthegreat.com. Wait, why are you laughing? This is true. www.spinningthegreat.com. That is now my domain, and I give it to you, my friend, as a Christmas gift. Yeah. Right now, that domain will point to Schnauzer Logic. You're speechless.
That's so beautiful.
I love you, man.
That is so beautiful. Now I can finally be recognized as the first person to really pay close attention to animal masturbation, to primate self-pleasuring. It'll be a site devoted to that. I just want to promise the listeners right now.
So will it be Sean at spinningthegreat.com or gorilla at spinningthegreat.com?
It'll be gorilla.
Gorilla at spinningthegreat.com. Well, there you go. Well, that's the beauty of the internet and having a little bit too much time and being drunk and GoDaddy.com's 595 domains. So I keep looking for Parviz. Unfortunately, there's some bastard who's got it named Parviz. So
is that right?
Yes, of course that's
right. But
do they
have Parviz.com?
No. Oh, there you go. Yeah. Parviz.
Parviz.com.
All right, hold on. Well, the nice thing is this won't be heard until I have a chance to go online. Let me write this down. Parviz.com.
All right, we'll get you a domain too.
You didn't write my name twice though.
I am sure that Parviz is probably A, not Persian, and B, not lactating. So I feel as though he should give up the domain to a more worthy
lactating
Parviz.
Persian. Yeah,
Danny Gans, Las Vegas.
Danny Gans, what a waste of time.
Okay, so,
did you think that too?
All right, here's the thing. Yeah. So do you know Danny Gans?
I don't.
All right, Sean, do you know Danny Gans?
I do.
Oh, there you go.
I know him personally. For God's sakes, I go to Vegas so often.
All right. So as you guys know, I went to Vegas over the holidays. I was there for 4 days. In 4 days, I saw 4 shows, 2 movies, a Star Trek exhibition, the human body exhibition, and I lost $10 on a roulette wheel. I mean, this is entertainment, my friend. Oh, this is the truth. I saw Cirque du Soleil, the Beatles love.
Oh, very cool.
Yeah, you want to talk into the microphone?
Yes, thank you.
No, thank you very much.
Yeah, I was napping.
He was
sorry.
Getting comfy.
Yeah, I can tell.
Stretching.
I can give you one of those pillows. And by pillows, I mean a small boy. And
I hope he's chubby.
They all are. They all are. But chubby, I mean, I don't know.
Stop.
I'm thinking pillows.
I'm glad to see the programming just as wholesome in the new year.
Absolutely. Absolutely. This is going to be terrific. I saw Danny Gans. Yeah. I saw Jerry Seinfeld.
What?
I saw Penn and Teller. Those are the four. That one didn't do it for you?
I'm surprised you saw Jerry Seinfeld.
Yeah, Seinfeld was there on the day after Christmas. He was there on the 26th, I think, and the 27th at the Caesar's Palace and Las Vegas Casino and Trout Hotel.
The Circus Soleil?
Circus Soleil.
Isn't that like 6 months booked? You got a ticket that day?
No, my sister got a ticket that day.
Oh,
and
cool.
And so, we got the tickets and we had great seats and it was amazing. And
was
I'm
it?
Not a big Cirque du Soleil fan. Do you know the Cirque du Soleil?
And how about Beatles fan?
I am a big Beatles fan, not okay. A big Cirque du Soleil fan. It's something about the French-Canadian dark, you know, Midnight of the Soul on trapeze. While I'm looking at them, all I can think to myself is, how do they fuck? That's all I can think about is, it's true. It's true. And
I believe that they have a show.
They
now.
Do.
I'm serious. That shows you how Cirque du Soleil people fuck. It's a, it's their dirty show.
Is that right?
Yeah, they got a dirty show.
It's like
on the
called
strip.
O
or
something.
Poo-poo
like that.
Or something.
Yeah.
That's the water show. But okay. Yeah, they do have the dirty show.
They do?
Yeah.
Well, very nice.
You'll see it on parviz.com.
Their mothers must be so proud.
And? the love, the Beatles love was absolutely amazing. It was breathtaking. And you know what? It was too bad that was the first thing that we saw because that set the bar so high. I pulled into Vegas at around 5 o'clock on Monday night on Christmas Day. I drove straight through from San Jose down to Vegas. No traffic, you know, going 85, 90 the whole way, which was terrific. And I got in about 5 o'clock and we had tickets for a 10:30 show. So I had enough time to basically take a shower, take a nap, and then go over to the casino and the hotel and meet my sister and go into the seats. And it was so, like, mouth was dropped open. It was just so amazing. So the second day was Jerry Seinfeld. And the second day we figured, well, that's, you know, Seinfeld would be terrific. And it was, he was off his rhythm. It was like this show every week. It was like, there were elements of funny, you know? If I had a chance to edit his show down, it would have sounded funny.
How was the audience? Were they not into it or not laughing?
No, they wanted to be into it.
Yeah.
And of course, we had seats that were like all the way in the nosebleed section. I mean, that was the one theater that we actually didn't have great seats in. And my nephew's 11, and he's from New York. He assumes that wherever he goes, he's going to be sitting in the front row. He's got that kind of New York, you know, Manhattan kid, privileged kid kind of thing. And I said to him, I said, you know, actually, high up and far back is better for comedy because what happens is as the sound moves back, the comedy gets distilled. So all you hear up here are the funny bits. And he believed me. And so now he's crushed because he thought if those are the funny bits, then there's no reason to
imagine
live.
The nightmare would have been sitting up front.
It was, first of all, he had somebody open for him whose name I don't remember. Jan asked me. I don't remember who the person was who opened for him. Somebody who had one of these CBS sitcoms that was on for a while, you know, between, you know, how I Stooped Your Mother and two and a half Christines or whatever the hell it is. And he was great.
Oh.
And so I guess he's a friend of Seinfeld's. And so he was terrific. And so I thought it took a little bit of courage for Jerry to put another comedian on. But obviously he felt like he could top whoever was on before him.
And he didn't. This guy had the crowd. So he did exactly what an opener is supposed to do. He got everybody worked up, ready to laugh. And Seinfeld came out on stage. And, of course, I mean, I have his comedy album. I'm telling you, for the last time, when he retired all that material that he was doing sort of in his Seinfeld days, you know? And so I know that he can be really funny.
Oh, yeah.
And so he was missing. And the audience was like, there were big silences. And you could tell that he was nervous and he started to shuffle around because Caesars is a huge fucking room. And that's not where you want to have a lot of, you know. And I realized, oh, my God, he's not connecting with the audience.
Oh,
you know?
No.
There were no boos. I mean, you know, people were laughing. He certainly had funny lines, but it was not what we wanted.
Was the opener Michael Richards?
No.
No.
No, but that's a terrific idea. Thanks. Yeah, you ought to move to Vegas and book that.
You're all a bunch of gamblers. You're all a bunch of gamblers.
Great. I'm so glad I fixed your mic and now everything you say is so clear and really it's perfect. So the third night I was ready for the funny, right? And my sister booked us into Danny Gans. And Danny Gans is a, how would you describe him, Sean?
Well, I think I would use the description that appears on every single, you know, sign in town for Danny Gans, which is entertainer of the year X number of years in a row. It's like the number of hamburgers sold. It grows every year.
He is entertainer of the year.
So he's an entertainer.
Yes.
He's not he's not a musician.
No, no.
He's not a he's not a magician.
Nope, not a comedian.
Not a comedian.
Doesn't do impersonations.
No.
He does all of those things and more. He's the entertainer of the year.
Exactly. He refuses to be buttonholed.
And I have his program here, which says that he is the man of many voices. Now, he's not the man of 1,000 voices.
No.
He's not the man of 100 voices. He's the man of many voices.
But isn't there a natural concern that you had that one of them may be yours?
Well, actually, the problem that I had was they don't tell you that those voices all sound the same.
How so, was it?
He was terrible.
Was it?
So what happens is the show begins in this thing, and it's a packed room, and the show begins, and you hear off stage on the microphone, you hear the world's worst impression of Marge and Homer Simpson. That's how he opens the show.
Oh.
He does a pretty good Marge. He does the world's worst Homer Simpson. And if you go to DannyGans.com, it's really hard. There's no YouTube of Danny Gans. There's no video.
Audio or video.
There's no nothing. But if you go to DannyGans.com, what you can hear him is his homepage has him doing an impression of Michael Myers doing Austin Powers. That's how current this guy is. He's right up to, he's there,
he's
baby.
Right, he's right on top of it.
Oh, behave, baby.
That's good.
That was Danny Gans. Here's how that show was. 5 minutes into that show, I'm sitting there and thinking to myself, this is going to be the longest night of my fucking life. I mean, this is 2006 is going to go on and on and on. I'm waiting for Celine Dion to come back at this point. And my sister says to me, can you go down to the lobby? Jason, my nephew, wants a drink. Would you get him a Coke? And even though the show started, and it's like, sure, I'll be like the good, you know, the good aunt, the good uncle. I'll go down to the lobby. And I get Jason a Coke. And as I'm standing there, I'm thinking to myself, this show deserves an adult beverage. So I got a double bourbon with a splash of soda. I came back. My sister had never seen me drink before. She goes, what's that? I go, this is fortifying juice. This is comedy juice. And I began to drink my double bourbon during Danny Gans. And I have to tell you, that show got much better.
Yeah.
As time went, oh, man. And here's the thing about Danny Gans. Before he begins every song and every impression, he tells you who he's going to do. He goes, here's a little somebody you may all know. Mr. Frank Sinatra. Don't tell me.
I gotta say, though, didn't you find it helpful? I mean, I personally find that a pretty invaluable thing when listening to Danny Gans.
Now, you've obviously got a strong opinion about this. Well, when did you see him?
Well, actually, I must admit, I'm totally confused. I was thinking about Lance Burton.
No, you weren't.
Yes, I was.
No, really?
Yeah, that show sucked. I thought we were talking about Lance Burton. So the whole time, Danny Gans was like, I don't remember Marge Simpson or over. But Lance is a magician, right?
Right.
Yeah, that one, yeah, that was
you
pretty bad.
You are unfucking believable.
Yeah, the whole time I thought we were talking about Lance Burton.
And strangely enough, he has also been the entertainer of the year.
See?
Again and again, same year.
His face and name is all over the place. Lance Burton.
Yeah?
Yeah, he pulls out some pigeon at one point or something. It's just terrible.
I was so excited that you were going to be
know.
My conspirator,
I'm so
my
sorry.
Partner in crime
I'm
here.
I'm so sorry. When I saw the program, immediately I thought I've seen this person, but I've never seen Danny Gans. It sounds like a great show. I can't wait to see it.
All right.
So it was terrible.
No, it was terrific. Sean, when did you see him?
No, I actually didn't see him. But you know, if you go to Las Vegas, for those of you who are outside of the United States or inside and have just never been to Vegas, Vegas has at every intersection, at every hotel, giant jumbotrons. Right? They have these huge television jumbotrons that advertise their artists, and you can see little bits and pieces of the acts. Sometimes if there are bands coming or special guests, you can see some of their shtick. That's where I saw the only time I've ever seen Sinbad do comedy was on one of those jumbotrons. And so I get to see artists who I don't like and get that little bit of exposure so I can speak with some authority because I've seen about 20 seconds of them. And I saw Danny Gann.
He is, though, he fills that room every single night.
He is a big draw.
Anyone would fill the room every single night because it's Vegas. Anyone would fill the room every single night. That's why you have artists like Celine Dion and Elton John there, because they're guaranteed a sold-out night every night.
Wait, this makes no fucking sense.
It makes perfect sense. It's Vegas. There's
but those are
but
big
names.
No
one names. Knows Danny Gans.
Nobody knows Danny Gans. That's why they go. That's why they go. Nobody knows Lance Burton.
What
but you throw
Celine
an Entertainer
Dion?
Of the Year or you throw a magician on there, people are there in a heartbeat because that Danny Gans cost $2 and Elton John cost $100. That's why people fill those seats in Danny Gans.
How much did
$2
Gans
Marge
cost?
Simpson.
Okay, look at the ticket stub here. We sat in the back row. How much was the ticket for Danny Gans?
$100.
Thank you.
I thought I said a dollar.
I think I heard Penn Jillette say something once about Danny Gans that within the county of Las Vegas, he is a name that everyone universally knows. And beyond that point, as soon as you pass that sign, you know, the leaving Las Vegas sign, no one knows who Danny Gans is.
Well, he's an interesting guy. I'd like to get him on the show. See if we can see if we can have him on Schnauzer Logic. Anyhow, we.
So, who was the last show?
Oh, Penn and Teller,
and
they were terrific. I've been Penn and Teller. You know, are maybe people don't know Penn and Teller are they're magicians, but they're the kind of magicians that deconstruct comedy. They're kind of comedy magic. They show you how the trick is done. In the process, of course, they trick you even more, right? So right. It's terrific. They're tricksters as much as anything else. They're kind of the fox in mythology. And here's the thing that I thought was so cool about Penn and Teller. They've got their own room at the Rio now, so they've got their own theater, and they're packed every night.
Everybody is.
Okay, I understand that.
It's Vegas.
Yeah, I got that.
You don't have to keep saying they're packed every night.
No, really, it's fine. It's fine. It's okay.
McDonald's is packed every night in Vegas.
Yeah, I'm waiting to see you at the Parviz Fatali Theater. And what hotel would that be in? I guess the Aladdin.
No.
Okay, thank you. That was a cheap shot. And yet, you left. Rolled your head back. That's good. You better not be like this next week when we have Mark Ehrman on.
I'll keep my mouth shut.
All right, there you go. I'm counting on it. That's what we want. Radio silence. Penn and Teller do a great show. I mean, it's very entertaining. My nephew is there. I think we dug it more than he did. After the show, Penn and Teller are standing in the lobby and they're signing autographs for people and taking photographs with little cheap digital cameras and whatever it is. And I thought to myself, these guys have their own. They got their own room in Vegas. They don't need to do that. Let me tell you, Danny Gans was not standing in front signing autographs. Jerry Seinfeld was not standing in front signing autographs. The Cirque du Soleil was not standing in front signing autographs, but there's Penn and Teller standing out in front signing autographs. So my nephew went up to them, and you know, he's a little kid, and they took photographs. Each of them took a photograph with him, and each of them signed his ticket stub. So he has two.
Very nice.
Yeah,
wow.
Very, very nice. So it's a memory that'll be able to, you know, in years from now, we'll be able to sell on eBay and I don't know, do something with. Anyhow, it was terrific. It was a lot of fun. Tremendous amount of entertainment in one day. If you haven't been to Vegas in a long time, it's unrecognizable. When was the last time you were there?
I'd say about 8 years ago.
Is that right?
Yeah. It's been a while.
It's very, very different. I have no idea because I wasn't there for Dan. Do you go often?
Yeah, last time I was there 5 years ago.
Yeah. I mean, first of all, they keep building and building and building.
Right.
So, I mean, you don't even recognize the stuff that they're building. And it just keeps spreading out further and further.
Like herpes.
Wow. Wow.
No, isn't Vegas known for that?
Spreading like herpes?
Bunch of hookers, aren't there?
No.
Oh, there isn't?
No.
Oh, I'm thinking of the wrong place. I'm sorry.
It's not legal in that county.
Aren't there Mexicans out there slapping those papers?
You know, they
don't
have those anymore.
Oh, thank you, Sean. You know what I'm talking about.
Yeah. Well,
everybody
years
else
ago,
is looking at me like I'm a hooker.
Well, for many years, although prostitution is not strictly legal in Las Vegas, as you walk down the streets of Las Vegas, there are large numbers of, I am assuming, guests in this country who had little brochures. There were sort of like little
porno
catalog
papers. Yes.
Of prostitutes, and they would make the most obnoxious smacking sound with these catalogs, right, as you walked by. And literally, there were thousands of these people on the strip.
Yep.
And you could, I guess, select a prostitute. You know, you go back to your room, select a prostitute from this call, and
you know a lot about this.
So, but now they have replaced them with little business cards, which these people can't slap. They can't make those sounds. So Vegas has improved immensely because of just a simple, and it wastes a lot of paper when you have those big catalogs.
Oh, that's great, Sean.
That's
an education.
That's coming from you. You're saying that's great, Sean, you fucker.
What did I say wrong? I said that's great, Sean. Thanks for the education.
That's great, Sean.
It went from paper to cue cards.
That's great, Sean.
But let me tell you actually a good story about Las Vegas. It was the first time I went to Las Vegas.
You got some
Vegas
plumbing update for us, dude? Maybe you could... yeah, no, we would stop Sean's discussion in order to talk about... Did you go into the wrong county again? Is that what happened? Did you go into the wrong county? Please, Sean, continue.
This is the early 80s. I don't remember the exact year, but I was old enough to drink. So, you know, it must have been like 84, something like that. And Vegas had not expanded to the South Strip really yet. It was still the old Vegas. Like, the opening of Dantana, what was that? The Vegas, that show, Vegas still looked like that. There were none of these huge, mega, family-friendly, kind of MGM Grandy, New York, New York-y kind of places. They were all the old Sands and Rio and stuff like that. And I went there, and I was tired, sweaty from a drive from L.A. on my motorcycle. I got in, and for some reason I had won something. One of the things that I had won, just sort of for being like the billionth customer, was tickets to their big room, which held John Davidson. Now, I don't know if you guys remember John Davidson.
That's incredible.
That's incredible, exactly. He was sort of a pseudo-celebrity, from kind of sort of actor, sort of host from the 70s. Good-looking guy, you know, probably in a lot of episodes of Love American Style or something.
Love Boat.
And Love Boat, no doubt. Love Boat, Fantasy Island, I'm sure he made the rounds. But he came out. Now, we're in one of these big, older rooms. And, you know, there's nobody in there, really, that's not kind of at least middle-aged, at least double my age. And he comes out with this pencil-thin, you know, 3-foot-long microphone with a tiny little ball on top.
Like Bob Barker.
Like Bob Barker. And he's got the leisure suit on. And he looks out at the audience with such sincerity. And he says, "This is going out to the ladies. Tonight, I am going to make love to each and every one of you in song." And then goes into the most horrific version of Engelbert Humperdinck's After the Lovin' that you've ever heard. Now, I'm laughing. Of course, I'm almost weeping. And the woman, quite blue in the hair, who is next to me, I'm all alone in one of those booths, and she actually hits me, because this was such a profound moment for her. This, my behavior was so, and I was trying to keep it down, but I wrecked the mood. I wrecked the loving. He made love to her specifically, and I destroyed it with guffaws. So if you're ever in this sort of situation.
Reminding her of her late husband, apparently.
He brought the same mic to bed.
And the same energy.
It was the most incredible thing. It was the most incredible throwback in time. That, because, you know, this is circa Miami Vice. You know, this is not after the lovin'. And it really showed you how the Vegas, you know, that whole geriatric part of Las Vegas has now just been limited to the slot machines at night. But well, that's what the whole town was like.
Yeah.
It was all, you know, these people who wanted to see the chairman of the board. And were willing to settle for John Davidson making love to their blue-haired wives.
Yeah. Danny Gans did the chairman of the board, and he named him as Frank Sinatra.
Which is really good, because I thought it was the best Dino I'd ever heard.
All right, here's what we're going to do. We're going to take a break. You're going to hang around. We're going to get Jason on the phone. He's got all kinds of big news, big stories, big year-end stuff. We'll come back. We'll talk some more. How's that sound for you?
Sounds great.
All right. Are you willing to hang with us? You,
absolutely.
You got your arms crossed.
No, I'm excited. I'm just holding my nipples.
Wow.
Thank goodness someone is.
I thought I missed you. All right. You're listening to Schnauzer Logic. It's our big 2007 year-end show. No, wait. That's... Robin Goldstein, Parviz Vitali, Sherry Steven, Sean Meehan, and we're all inviting you to please stick around.
Stick around for more Schnauzer Logic. Cruella DeVille, Cruella DeVille. If she doesn't scare you, no evil thing will. To see her, yes, it take a sudden chill. Cruella, Cruella DeVille. The curl of her lips, the ice in her stare. All innocent children had better beware. She's like a spider waiting for the kill. Look out for Cruella DeVille. At first you think Cruella is a devil, but after time has worn away the shock, you come to realize you've seen her kind of eyes watching you from underneath a rock. This vampire bat, just inhuman beast, she ought to be locked up and never released. The world was such a wholesome place until Cruella, Cruella DeVille. To take a sudden chill, Cruella DeVille. Curl of her lip, eyes in her stare. All innocent children here better beware. She's like a spider waiting for the kill. Look out for Cruella DeVille. At first you think Cruella is a devil. Time is war with a shot. You come to realize you seen her kind of eye watching you from under a rock. This vampire bat, inhuman beast, gotta be locked up, never released. This world was such a wholesome place until Cruella DeVille.
even a hair's too faint. Nothing you ever seen. She's the Dean of Mean. I need to mention she's got some doggone bad intentions. Need, let's face it, a person like her could really ruin your whole day.
Welcome back. We're, I don't know, 54 minutes or so into this episode of Schnauzer Logic, the podcast. Robin Goldstein, straight white Buddhist vegetarian lesbian fraternity boy trapped in the body of a recovering transsexual woman patent attorney with a bizarre sense of humor and a master's degree in city planning, www.schnauzerlogic.com, robin@schnauzerlogic.com. We're over on myspace.com/schnauzerlogic. We got noise on the line there. We got gremlins. We got mice. We got Mises. We got Sean Meehan. Are you still there, Dr. Meehan?
Oh, yeah.
Sana Vista, my friend.
Sana Vista.
And Sana Vista Parvis Vitali. Big Danny Gans fan, are you?
Never met him.
How could you think I was talking about Lance Bird?
I thought they were one and the same.
When you walk... now that you mention it, you know, it is possible.
It's very possible. They both got that cantaloupe-sized head.
Here's what's so funny. They do with the yes. Dew and the shirts open and the whole thing.
Oh, disgusting.
My sister, who is very funny but will never really cop to being funny, but is really very funny. We stood in the lobby outside of one of these giant posters of Danny Gans, you know, with the blow dried thing and the hair and the medallion and the whole thing. And she looked at that and she looked at me and she said, "That's every guy I dated in college."
He kind of looks like a cross between Hasselhoff and Dan Marino, the quarterback, Dan Marino.
That's true.
Yeah,
and
he does.
And he used to play baseball. I guess he played baseball. He was he was on some minor league team, and he's got some athletic background. No.
It just makes me laugh. No, it makes me laugh. He probably annoyed the team.
I know it's making
you
laugh.
He probably annoyed the team with his impersonations.
All right. Speaking of annoying the team.
Thank you, Sean. Are you joking?
Sorry.
He's probably saying this is John Travolta. Welcome back, Carter.
Cotter.
Cotter. He's like, hey.
The old Jewish guy in the 1988 VW van.
You can never hear when we play it.
The old Jewish guy in the 1988 VW van.
57 channels. One more time.
The old Jewish guy in the 1988 VW van.
All right. That's enough. Sorry. Let's say Sana Vista, Jason Nathanson. Happy 2007. Welcome to Schnauzer Logic.
Were you playing my song there? Or
yes.
I couldn't hear anything.
I know. You can never hear anything.
Usually I can hear the song at least, and then everything else I can't hear.
I turned it down this time so I could... don't worry about it.
Oh, purposely? Okay, good.
Yes. Parvisely? What?
So how is the amazing Jonathan?
I didn't see the amazing Jonathan.
Oh, you suck.
Fuck you. I mean, I wanted to see the amazing Jonathan. We saw Penn and Teller instead.
And were they good?
They were terrific. We were talking about that before you got on the air. I won't recap the whole thing. They were terrific. Jerry Seinfeld sucked, quite frankly. Cirque du Soleil, Beatles Love was amazing. And Danny Gans is clearly Las Vegas Entertainer of the Year.
And no Mind Freak? Anywhere in there?
No, we didn't see Mind Freak. I saw Night at the Museum with Ben Stiller. Terrific film for the kids and young and old alike. Saw Blood Diamonds with Lou Diamond Phillips. No, Leo DiCaprio.
Did you do anything that didn't involve you sitting for long periods of time?
I stood in line to see the Star Trek exhibition at one of the hotels. Did I do anything? I went to the gym every day. Does that count?
Oh, that's good.
Yeah, I went to the gym every morning.
That counts.
Here's the smart thing I did was I stayed in a different hotel for my sister and brother-in-law and nephew. That's a smart thing that
I
did.
A good move.
They stayed over at the Orleans, which apparently is known for their $2 blackjack table, $2 shrimp cocktail, and $2 hookers. So for $6, it's a meal and a half.
Well, that's all, and it's always embarrassing when you're walking the hooker through the lobby and you run into your sister.
Actually, for them, it'd be embarrassing to see how many shrimp cocktail they were eating. But, Okay, well, we'll just edit that out. But and by edit that out, I mean I'll put laughter behind it so it sounds like it was funny. Like that. Go laugh again. Thank you. All right. And I stayed at a different hotel completely on the other side of town, which is, you know what, 2 miles away. I mean, it's it was no big deal, and it worked out to be perfect. Did we do anything that didn't involve sitting on my ass? Well, I mean, we went to the exhibition about the human body, right? That was pretty interesting. Although I've now heard that they think that the bodies that were carved up are Chinese prisoners. Have you read about this?
No. I didn't see anything about that.
Yeah, I guess this was in Los Angeles, and then this was in New York,
yeah,
and it was here.
San Francisco.
Yeah, it's been all over. It's called Bodies or something like that, I guess. Well, I was watching a television program, and apparently there is some concern that these are Chinese prisoners from, like, forced labor camps, and they killed them. And then, you know, went through the process of, you know, preparing their bodies for exhibition. So,
yeah, but they got out of China, which is the goal. That's the good thing.
I see. Chance to see the world.
Yeah.
Very nice. So we did that. That involved, that was about an hour and a half of walking around. But no, I mean, listen, what are you going to, what kind of activities are you talking about in Vegas that require any kind of physical movement? You go on a regular basis. What do you do when you go there?
I dance. I dance my ass off.
Wow. And then magically it grows back again. Yeah. Go figure.
Well, I'm with you, Jason. I think it's fun to go dancing.
There we go. I'm a partner in crime. We'll go dancing.
All right.
All right. There you go.
I like to dance, too.
All right.
All right.
Notice nobody offered an invitation. Then.
No. Even after he said that. Which makes it doubly pathetic, don't you think?
I think I was in mid burp when I said that, too.
Thank you. All right. You can just lean
Very
back,
attractive.
Crush your arms again. That's great.
Yep.
Just go lactate yourself there. So what's new in the big world? You got all kinds of stories. I don't even know where to begin with you, dude. Just pick it up wherever you want.
That always works well with us. I need you to lead me somewhere. That's why I send you the email every week.
Okay. Well, you're going to be on a new game show.
Yes. Next Monday, I'll be taping a game show. This is one that I went for an audition for a month or two at this point. 1 versus 100.
You're going to be on that?
Yeah. Now,
why
I'm
not
sure exactly what I'm allowed to say and what I'm not allowed to say. They haven't told me anything yet, so I'm going to figure that everything's fair game at this point.
All right.
But it's going to be a special edition. Those details I won't get into, but I'm going to be part of the mob. If you've ever seen the show, there's you know the one contestant.
Isn't that the one that's hosted by Penn Jillette?
No, it's hosted by Bob Saget.
Okay.
Close.
All right.
The Penn Jillette one was Identity.
Okay.
Which was a good show if you didn't see it.
All right.
Horrible show.
Oh, I really
liked
it.
I actually saw that.
It taught people to be racist and think like racist.
Yeah. Pick out the black guy. We're like, let me see. Not that one. It's lame.
Wow.
That
I think Danny Gans is on that show. Pick out the magician. Not Danny Gans.
That's because he's not a magician.
That's right. But Lance was there.
Wow. Wow.
You shut up.
No
shut up.
Idea.
Shut up.
No
I'll
idea, do you? Are you a big Danny Gans fan?
Talking to me?
All right. Continue.
Are so you talking to him?
You're going to be on me. You're going to be. That's a better impersonation of De Niro than Danny Gans, by the way. You should know.
So this will be taping next Monday. I'll be part of the mob.
And what does it mean for you to be part of the mob?
There's one contestant.
You get to drag somebody to their death?
Yes. It's
funny.
An Iraqi show, actually.
Okay.
Hey.
Yeah, you're close to the mic.
Hey.
Thank you.
There's one contestant, and they're asked questions, and they have to get more questions right than the mob that they're playing against. And for every member of the mob that you knock out, you win X number of dollars. So I'm going to be part of the mob, but the rules are going to be changed a little bit where it won't be normal, and I basically have a 1 in 100 shot of winning $1 million, which is the closest I've ever come to anything like that. So
is the contestant a celebrity?
No, the contestants will be, from what I understand, one of the mob members.
Okay.
And the last remaining mob member standing wins $1 million.
And there's something special about this particular show.
Yeah. So I'm thinking it's going to be a sweeps type thing.
All right.
I don't have all the info
gotcha.
yet, and I don't know when it's going to air, but I'll be taping that Monday at 8 a.m.
All right. So you'll let us know when it airs, yes?
Yes, absolutely.
All right. So that'll be something we'll all be very excited to pretend that we watch. So one versus Danny Gans. 100 versus Danny Gans. That's the show. All right, good. We got that going on. You wanted to talk about Saddam Hussein's pictures on video.
Not after your reaction. You didn't seem particularly excited.
I'm not.
To talk about
but
it.
But don't let me stifle your creativity. Go.
Did you see the video?
No.
I'm assuming you didn't.
I did not.
And I'm assuming you didn't because I remember one episode of Schnauzer Logic we did years and years and years ago where I made a little parody of Timothy McVeigh's execution. Do you remember that?
I do.
And you, I sent it to you, and I thought it was really funny. And you had the worst reaction to it. You really, really, really were uncomfortable by it.
Okay.
And so at that point, I learned that you're anti-execution.
Yes. What a horrible thing to learn about me.
Did anybody else there see the video?
No. I saw it right up to the point where, right off the point before he was.
So where they put the noose around his neck.
Correct.
That's the sanitized state-released version. The cell phone version is the one that's causing all the controversy.
We'll talk about it.
And I did watch it, and I'm not sure exactly why. Perhaps morbid curiosity or, you know, just being young and stupid. But
I would vote for number two.
I just couldn't help myself, and it's gruesome. I mean, I'm anti-death penalty, and it makes me feel bad that even for a guy like Saddam, who I feel like I should muster up the hatred for and want to see this guy dead, watching the video actually humanized him more than it did bring any sense of justice to him being killed.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that it was actually a bad thing that so many people did get to watch because the guy was no longer this gruesome tyrant. He was just a feeble, fat old man being killed. And you can't help but feel a little bit of sympathy for the guy. So I don't think it helps the cause of the people who want him remembered as this horrible, evil person. So, that's the feeling that I came out with.
What's the problem with simply taking somebody like that up and locking them away forever?
That's what I think. I think twofold. A, it's not the state's job to sanction murder. I don't believe in that. But B, I think the penalty of being locked away for the rest of your life is far worse than going to death because a lot of people, Saddam included, he had a Quran up to the end, although he wasn't supposedly very religious. I think for a lot of people who are killed, there is some kind of relief or sense of, you know, okay, this is over, finally.
Sure.
And that actually is beneficial to them.
That's how I felt when the Danny Gans show was over.
You got a reprieve.
Exactly.
The governor pardoned you.
Exactly.
Something just really briefly I thought I'd mention is that my wife and I were both struck by the words of our president, George W. Bush, after the event, where he said that he was pleased that the Iraqi people allowed Saddam to get the kind of justice that he denied his victims. And I thought, really?
I mean,
the kangaroo court and then the rapid execution.
Yeah, when you watch it, it's pretty much the exact same kind of justice. They dance around the bodies.
I saw no difference in the justice.
Yeah, they dance around the bodies, and in the end, a man is dead. Does it really matter how that came about?
Well, our president's no great thinker. I mean, Laura and I watched the video over and over again.
Well, he actually said he didn't watch the video, which, I mean, I'm sure he was watching it in Mass.
Actually, he said that he didn't even know that there was a video. No, it's
well,
true.
You know,
that's even more frightening.
Knowing the intelligence that we get, he probably didn't know that there was a video. It's very frightening.
It's troubling on so many levels, and now, of course, I mean, not that I don't like talking about politics because it just makes my blood boil. Now what the president's talking about doing after the report from the Iraqi committee, right, that was headed by James Baker, and all of these folks who've come forward and said, listen, really what we need to do is we need to turn control back over to the Iraqis and let them begin to take over control of their own country again. The president is planning on sending 20,000 more troops into the country. I mean, this is psychotic behavior. This is paranoid behavior. I think it's criminal behavior. And, of course, Democrats won't do anything to stop this.
And the most interesting thing about why we know he's planning on sending 20,000 more troops in is that the BBC scooped American media by reporting that.
Right.
We still don't have confirmation of that.
Don't you think that there's a possibility, though, that given that
you know, in this country, it is very obvious in the media that the president is going against our senior military officials, the Joint Chiefs of Staff. He's going against the Baker Report. He's going against the wishes of the American people and against, you know, the legislature in this country. Don't you think that this is actually a better thing for him to do than to have come out with some kind of, we'll kind of keep the numbers the same and maybe redistribute the forces or something? Because I think that what he's done is so egregious and is so frightening to his own party. You know, it's such a political misstep for Republicans that I think that this may actually allow some, you know, swing Republicans to come into the Democratic camp and say, okay, we're going to cut the legs out of this operation financially.
You mean like people like Lieberman who ran on a platform of going against Clinton, and that helped him because Clinton was so maligned at the end there?
I'm talking about the Arlen Specters. I'm talking about, you know, there are a vast number of people who recognize they lost the election in November in large measure because they were on the wrong side of the Iraq issue, and now the president is putting them in a position of having to support an even more wrong side on the Iraq issue. I think that this may provide the necessary cover for Republican legislators to say, you know what? You are hurting our party, and you are hurting me by having me go along with this insane, wildly unpopular move.
But do you go so far conspiratorially to believe that he would be doing this on purpose?
No.
Provide them with the cover?
I think he's totally insane. I do. I think he's completely and utterly a lunatic. And I think that basically he's just proven it. And so now the people who are in a position to support him, you know, whose support he needs, can defect. I'm glad he's not putting out some kind of a mealy mouth, well, we're going to redistribute forces, not a lot's going to change, but there'll be a new plan, and something that people could say, well, you know, let's give this a chance for a little while.
Gotcha.
Here's what I want to do. I want to take a break. We're going to regather our efforts. We're going to redouble our intentions to talk about entertainment. Okay, please.
Did we get derailed here?
Well, not that we got derailed, but I've lost the crowd here in the room.
Was that the sound of silence? Was that the sound of what I was hearing?
It was something. You guys were talking to each other, and we were wondering how we could change the channel.
Well, last note on that, the Saddam video definitely disturbed me. So you can see it on my website at randomshow.blogspot.com.
Okay. And it's also available over on www.spinningthegreat.com, I think.
That's the second time you've made that reference, and I don't know what you're talking about.
That's because you don't listen to the show, asshole.
I listened to some of it.
I'm Brian Cox.
See, I listened to that.
All right, we're going to take a break. We'll play another tune. You guys can both hang on, yes?
Yeah.
All right. Are you okay, dude?
Yeah, I'm just clearing my throat.
Just getting ready to bring the funny.
I told you earlier, let's get the funny out of the way.
And you feel like we've done that.
Pretty much.
We've accomplished that. All right. Also, when we get back, I got to play a... we got a complaint on the phone line.
Not about me.
Well, about all of us.
Really?
Why is that so surprising to you?
I don't know. We'll have to hear the voice.
Wow.
Yes.
All right. Well, this actually applies to all of us.
Okay.
So when we come back, we'll play the complaint.
Oh, I can't wait.
We'll talk with Jason. I'll go look in the other room at the computer to see what he said he wanted to talk about. And Cheryl get a donut, and we'll be good. All right. All right. More tuners. You're listening to Schnauzer Logic. The whole gang is here for 2007, our first show of the new year, and we're inviting you all. Please stick around.
Gay boy.
Schnauzer Logic.
Mm-hmm.
more fun than flushing the toilet while your spouse is in the shower.
Oh, sorry.
Schnauzer Logic.
What?
That's funny.
You printed it here.
I know.
Well, somebody printed it here.
I did. Printed it today, and I went running looking for the... on two printers, and it wasn't there. I thought, where did I print to?
You printed it here.
Cool. Okay.
Well, welcome back. We're 16 minutes into the second hour of Schnauzer Logic. Robin Goldstein, Sean, me, and Sherry Stevens, Parviz Vitali, and on the phone with us is Jason Nathanson, www.schnauzerlogic.com. I don't know how much of that we heard because my mic was open the entire time.
Well, just edit it all out.
That's all good stuff.
Well, I don't know. We might have said something wrong.
I don't think so. Let's
I think
see.
I told you I loved you.
And I said I loved you too.
I had to force it out of you.
And how is that different from the rest of the people in your life?
That's true. I said I loved you, Mom.
Welcome back to Jason Nathanson.
Hello. Hi.
Hi. How are you?
Hi.
Hey. All right.
I'm
hey.
One of 100.
Sona Vista, Robin. Sona Vista.
Yeah.
See, I listen.
So they canceled, what's her name show?
Megan Mullally.
Megan Mullally was
About
canceled
time.
Today.
Yeah, and if we could go back to the tape where I predicted that, play that now. I predict Megan Mullally would be gone within 4 months.
Nice. Wow.
Thank
she
you.
She sucks.
She was hard. We did talk about how awful that was.
I mean, really, really train wreck bad.
You know who's on the coattails of Megan Mullally is Tyra Banks.
See, Tyra Banks is watchable in a car wreck kind of way.
Tyra Banks is the white Oprah.
Well, I don't know
there's
about
there's an
that.
S at the end of Tyra Banks' name, and it's Megan Mullally.
What did I say? And does it really matter? They both suck.
You're right. It makes no difference.
How many people mispronounce my name?
Parvis.
Exactly.
Megan Mullally, though, seems like such a waste because she is a talented person. She's a good singer. She's done Broadway. Her character at work in Will and Grace, although I never really cared for the show, I thought she was very funny in it.
Homophobe. Okay.
it just seems like a waste. You know, you give somebody a talk show to see what they can do, and she sucked bad.
Well, yes, she did. Let's see here. All right, hold on half a second. I wanted to play this thing here, and I lost it. All right, so here's a comment. All right, we got a comment on the phone. We didn't give the phone number out. Area code 206.
666.
6540.
6540.
206.
666-6540.
All right, here's a comment we got. You guys, turn it up. Oh, I'll turn it up so you... What the hell was that? Hello? You still there?
Yeah.
Sean, you there?
Oh, yeah.
All right, I'll turn this up so you guys can hear this as well. Let's see if this works. All right, hold on.
Yeah, I just want you to know that the transgender community enjoys hearing your podcast. But I also want you to know that there are many different races in the transgender community. I'm African-American, and I'm kind of appalled at the fact that you guys are used to N-word. You don't sound like you're those kind of people. But anyway... I just wanted to put in my 2 cents there, and you guys have a Merry Christmas. Bye-bye.
Now, was that you, Parviz?
That was me. I'm just appalled that you all used the...
So I was surprised to get that, because after we did our...
You bleeped everything out.
Well, not the week before I didn't bleep everything out.
Oh.
The week before, when we were initially talking about what had gone on, we used the word... And I don't know that I have problems with using the word and describing what Michael Richards did. The week afterwards, though, when we used the word, I felt uncomfortable about the fact that we used the word in the way that we had, because it didn't seem to be part of the news story. We were having kind of fun with it, and it occurred to me that maybe people would be uncomfortable with that. So we actually pulled it out, and I didn't apologize, but I kind of explained the editing on the webpage, right on the blog page. And so I was very surprised to get this a couple of days before Christmas. What it means to me, first of all, is I was right, that there are people who would be offended by it, even though, as you like to say, funny is funny. Nevertheless, there are people that are offended by it. Not, of course, the transgender stuff. That's hysterical, right? That's always good times. But the other stuff, maybe not so much. because African American people can beat the crap out of you, and trannies probably you can take them down. What do you think? Yeah. Okay. Good. But the other thing that occurred to me is that people are not up to speed on the show.
Yeah.
I mean, they're kind of behind a few weeks. I mean, they don't. Also, everybody who listens to the show doesn't necessarily read the blog. And I'm guessing vice versa. There may be people who don't listen to the show at all. They just like reading what we have to say.
I think you're right. I think the holidays is going to make it even worse because we're so busy that they probably won't even be up to this speed in
exactly.
2 weeks or so.
Exactly.
Maybe that guy was from the future coming back and listening 5 years from now.
If it was a guy, we don't know if it was a guy.
I actually think that was Danny Gantz.
Okay.
I really do. I think that was Danny Gantz calling.
All right. I'm so lucky because I got rid of the car crash sound in order to find a place on the board, but that it would have worked so well there. I'm sorry, Sean.
I think two things. One thing, my hat's off to this guy because if he is appalled, he is the most mellow guy.
Yeah.
That's the person you want being mad at you.
And I certainly don't, you know, I'm not too interested in offending people, particularly over issues of race.
Yes, you are.
Because I don't think that there's anyone in the room who, which of course excludes me, anyone in the studio who is interested in racial strife or has any kind of interest in ridiculing on the basis of race. But I was also kind of curious, just by one phrase in there, that kind of person. I wonder, in his mind, who that kind of person is and what behavior defines you as that kind of person. You know what I mean?
Jews?
Persians?
I don't know. Unfortunately, they didn't leave a name or a phone number when you get in contact with them. I assume that they realized we would play it. We could play it on the air, which is why they left us an audio recording instead of dropping us an email. So, I was also taken aback by that because there is an assumption that there are those kinds of people, right? You people,
right? Am I George Allen? Am I? You know, am I the Grand Wizard of the Ku Klux Klan? These are funny things for me because I don't know exactly how to apologize.
Are you going to leave those questions lying on the table there, or are you going to answer them? Are you George Allen?
I'm Danny Gans doing George Allen. I should have announced that up front, so you would have put it together.
The other thing is none of this would have came up if it wasn't for Michael Richards. We're not the kind of people that would normally just shoot out the N-word for no apparent reason, unless we're talking about Michael Richards.
What I think for myself is that I am uncomfortable apologizing. I would rather explain, because I'm not ashamed of what we did. I'm not.
Well,
I'm not
that part
upset.
Of it, I wasn't. No. There's lots we've done that I'm ashamed of.
Right. And that's not it, because I think that there was a... Because I don't think that we were joking at any time about black people.
Right.
We may have been joking about the use of the word. We may have been joking about kind of the use of any sort of word. I'm uncomfortable with the incredible status that the N-word has taken on.
Mm-hmm.
I think that I understand it makes people nervous, but it's also just a phonetic grouping of sounds. And I think to give it the kind of power it seems to have is not healthy.
Well, you know, you and I talked about this a little bit over the break, and I won't mention the C word because Sherry is here and it makes her uncomfortable chocolate. But but I was watching a comedy show from the UK, Ricky Gervais, who's known for The Office and Extras and what have you, and he used the C word, and in the UK, the C word is applied as a general kind of insult to men and women alike. It does not have that same, and he just threw it out and there were no gasps in the audience, and it doesn't have that kind of power, right? So there's a very contextual element to these words. And I thought we should play it because I don't know if we are or are not those kinds of people, but it was interesting to me. Certainly, as I agree with you, it is not my intention. I think I can speak for the other folks who are part of the show. It is not our intention to have fun at the expense of other folks, especially people who are not in a position to defend themselves. That's not what the show is about. We can make fun of Parviz as much as we want, and that fulfills it.
Why
that is the question, isn't it?
Why is it me? You know why it's me? Because I don't get offended. That's why. There's some people.
That's not it.
Yeah, there's some people that.
No, that's not it.
No, because it's a show. It's a joke. It's nothing to be ashamed about.
Funny is funny.
Funny is funny. If it's funny, it's funny.
Aren't you going to offend somebody 90% of the time with anything?
Absolutely.
Even if you don't mean to. So you can either spend the rest of your life apologizing, or you could just do what feels right for you and, you know,
and we
go
do
on with it.
And we do, and that's why we edited the show. I mean, we Sherry and Sean and I went out, and as we were sitting there talking, I thought to myself, you know what? It feels to me like maybe we did slop a little bit over, and so we don't need that. We can get laughs other ways, and so we edited all those words out of the next show. And I think in context, I would feel comfortable in using that word, but as a cheap laugh, it didn't seem like the right way to get a cheap laugh. We got other ways of getting cheap laughs, right?
RVs.
We got
once again, but I do want to say about the caller.
We
thank
got
you.
This.
I
stop laughing. It's not funny.
Okay, and we got
Jerry.
This. And we got this.
No.
About the caller. Thank you for calling.
Yes, we appreciate that.
We don't even know what anybody out there is feeling about the show unless they call or email or anything.
I like
that,
how Parvis is taking ownership of the phone line, like it's his.
He did take ownership.
It was his line
until we got this kind of call. And now it's
not
like, well, it's not my
no
line.
More Ask Parviz.
All right. The Golden Globes, the Oscars, what bald Jewish guy in 1988 VW van will be on a game show covering the Golden Globes and the Oscars?
That would be me.
What's the story there, dude?
They were very impressed with my New Year's work at the station. I produced the whole New Year's Eve extravaganza.
Wow. So you're saying without you, New Year's wouldn't have happened?
Yes, that's exactly what I'm saying. A million people would have been standing there not knowing when the ball dropped.
And the ball would still be up in the air.
Yes.
Okay.
So I think as a reward, I'm going to get to go to the Golden Globes and the Oscars as a producer.
And what does that mean exactly?
I don't know. We'll find out. It means I have to wear a tux.
No, it doesn't.
Yeah, you do. Everybody who works in any aspect behind the scenes or in front of the scenes at the Oscars, if you're a cameraman, whoever you are, you might be in a shot at some point and you have to wear a tux.
Do you have a tux?
No.
Do they make tuxes in your size?
No, that's just rude. I'm going to call. Wait, what's the number? 666.
206.
666-6540.
Nice.
I didn't know you were those people.
Now, is that offensive? Is that offensive?
Well, yes.
Sir, call back, please.
So, yes. They probably. I wore a tux to prom, so I was shorter then. So.
You should wear
was it baby blue?
You should
and
wear the same
did it have a ruffly shirt?
Were you bald?
Color my world.
Keep them coming. Keep them coming.
With love.
I thought we were making fun of Parvis.
Jason, do you get to bring a date?
Do I get to bring a date?
Uh-huh.
Oh, now you're angling for, you make a joke and now you're angling for a ticket, huh? I see how it is.
I have a nice dress.
No, I probably, it'll just be me.
Okay.
But the Oscars on the radio, I mean, you're a radio producer. By the way, have you gotten my name, you had all of 2006, have you gotten my name on the air at all?
No, I like my job and I want to keep it.
So you're such a puss.
I'd be offended on that one.
I am offended.
I actually made a decision that I will not be putting your name in anything.
You suck.
And swallow.
That's a major violation of journalistic ethics.
Whoa. What are you offended by? The major violation of journalistic ethics? Or the fact what
well,
he
look
said?
Look at the chick from the New York Times and now she's a hero.
Which one?
The one who wrote all the, Iraq's coming for us stories.
Judith Blair?
Who went to prison. What's her name?
Blair? Judith Blair, I think.
No.
Judith Miller.
Judith
no.
Miller.
No,
Linda
Judith.
Blair.
Linda Blair.
Judith no. Regan. O.J. Simpson.
Judith Regan.
Judith Regan. Ronald Reagan.
Colonel Mustard in the library with a candlestick.
Gerald Ford.
Ding 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 ding.
Ford F-150.
I just want to get a quick plug in here.
Don't say plug.
www.spinningthegreat.com.
Beyond that, of course, go to www.spinningthegreat.com.
Spinning the Great. I think it's spinning. Did you want Spin the Great? It's Spinning the Great.
It's Spinning the Great.
Yeah, it's the Gerundel form.
I just wanted to say that my wife and I, as kind of part of the New Year's thing, decided to do a little charity thing. We went to www.allforyouth.org, and this is sort of a thing like when you have, it's sort of like the Christian Children's Fund without the Christian part. And they help,
they help impoverished and ill children in Africa, and it's one of those good charities. You know, we've checked it out where all the money does not go sort of above the line. It really goes to the people who need it, and there are kids that you adopt and what have you. And if any of you are thinking about just a little charity for the new year, taking care of some people who really need it, www.allforyouth.org. Give that a thought.
I have nothing funny to say about that.
Yeah, me neither. Yeah.
I'm there sorry to stop funny. The want, show, but...
You want to add something to that, Parviz?
Well, I mean, do you send a letter every month and ask how your kid's doing?
Basically, you send them money each month so that they can eat. So that they can eat and get medicine. And you can contact the kids, too. But, I guess that's more optional.
You can actually talk to the child?
And it, you know, one of the great things about this...
You're creeping me out, dude.
Why am I creeping you out? Because I have love in my heart?
Yeah.
Am I creeping you out because I have love in my heart?
Yes.
One of the great things about this is maybe some of the audience has heard about this kind of stuff. They teach the caretakers of these ill children also. They sort of do those little micro loan things where it helps them start little entrepreneurial enterprises that can sustain the, it's a revenue stream. It helps them understand commercial enterprise and builds a little revenue stream for the kids, too. So it's not just throwing your money into an endless hole of need, but it actually helps these little communities, you know, fend for themselves in sort of a free market world. So that's could somebody make a joke about Danny Gantz?
take that,
no, I'm
caller.
Just, I'm just. Are you saying they can have a lemonade stand?
Basically, things like that. Yeah, you know that you teach them how.
Nice.
Maybe a little dairy. You
nice.
Know that you get the farm animals. You
right.
get the. You know, maybe you're making some textile or something like that. You get them a loom or those kinds of things. You know.
Can you milk Can you milk me?
Well, I understand. Parviz is ready. So.
I've got the bottle in the refrigerator right now.
Okay, right. I just went to spinningthegrate.com.
Yeah?
And it's like a site pimping something called Think Film and Ken Turetsky.
Oh, yeah.
That's all it is.
Yeah. That's it. That's us. Yeah, we're pimping King. You were going to say something.
Oh, I was just going to say, Jason, when are the Golden Globes? And
Golden Globes are January 15th, I believe, and the Oscars are in March.
Wow.
Okay, great.
So we're coming up on the time where we get to talk about shit that nobody cares about.
Yeah, exactly.
Good times. All right. And
Florence. Good times. Florence. JJ.
And then if you want, I don't know if you have time to want to do any TV-related stuff.
Sure. Go ahead.
But this is the week when everything starts coming back from hiatus. So on NBC, Friday Night Lights comes back tonight, actually, Wednesday night. It's a show that's actually grown on me watching it.
Let me throw you off track. Did you see the new Courtney Cox thing?
No, I didn't.
I heard she masturbates in the show 3 times.
Well, I have it near the room.
Her masturbating.
All right, we're
show.
Done with the show. I gotta go. Bye bye. Okay.
Bye bye. Out of here.
She's really going to get it?
No.
No, but we're here.
I like how you caught yourself in the pronoun.
I did catch myself.
I know.
I'm
That's
learning.
Good. That's cool. No, yeah. That's fine. That's make you just a little uncomfortable. Want to keep you up
a little bit, but not like Mondo. Like
No. It shouldn't be Mondo. It should right. just be enough to fuck you up. Friday Night Lights is coming back, and then next week, I guess, House comes back, and the Law and Orders came back last night, and...
And Heroes is on the 22nd.
I heard the OC has been canceled.
You know, I watched that the first season or two, and then stopped watching it, so, I mean, I have no... It was kind of funny in the beginning, and it just got really soap opera bad.
Is it tonight is the Lords of Destiny, the...
Yes. Yes, tonight is the Lords of Destiny.
Is that what it's called?
That's a new show on ABC.
Holy shit, did I get that right?
Yes.
Wasn't it originally called, like, Robbing Mick Jagger?
That
I was,
don't know.
It was, but it's not called the Lords of Destiny. It's called the...
The Knights of Prosperity.
The Knights of Prosperity. That's it.
You know, I wrote a screenplay called the Lords of Destiny, and I got a lawsuit
pending against these guys.
Really?
for not naming the show after your screenplay?
The Knights of Prosperity?
The Knights of Prosperity.
Which originally something like kidnapping Mick Jagger.
Robbing Mick Jagger,
right? And he's in the first episode.
And that's basically the premise of it. It's a bunch of New York losers. Right. Had to plan to rob Mick Jagger.
Donald Logue and a bunch of other sort of indie types are in this thing.
And it looks fun. I mean, the commercials are funny, so, I'm...
Well, there you go.
I'm holding out hope.
This is 30 seconds of entertainment, anyhow.
Well, I've seen bad commercials, you know, so
wow. Well, Parviz just yawned, like, a big fucking yawn.
How about on the cable shows, is Weeds coming back soon? Or?
I don't have that prepared.
Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't see your list. You could copy me.
I need to add this. King of Queens are all new episodes every Wednesday night up until May when they're going to be off the air forever.
All right. There you go. On that happy note.
Grey's Anatomy?
I'm sad.
Grey's Anatomy? Anybody dead? Gay?
I don't have that on my list.
Desperate Housewives?
Yeah?
No, I don't.
All the shows that I don't watch?
24 is coming back soon.
Yes, it is, and they're going to run straight through.
Two-hour premieres back-to-back.
Wow.
Can't beat it, so they'll get in the lock 4 hours right out of the way.
Yeah.
and then it'll just be 20.
And American Idol comes back in 2 weeks.
American Idol in 2 weeks. And I actually like the first like four shows of American Idol are the ones that I like.
See, those are the worst.
Where they clown on people.
Yeah, those are the worst. See, that's why you watch the Saddam video, you fucker.
And that's probably why I like Borat, too.
Oh.
And listen to Schnauzer's Logic.
No, not all of it.
Only the parts that he's in.
And the Brian Cox shit.
Are we going to hear Brian Cox today?
No. all right, my friend. So we can catch you on KSCO every Thursday. Is that right?
Every Thursday morning at 6:45 a.m.
All right, we'll make sure that we get up and do that.
Yeah.
Sorry, was that not sincere enough? I'll work on that. And you're going to be doing your own podcast.
Actually,
so that means this is your last so this is Jason's last time on Schnauzer Logic.
Yeah.
So long, farewell.
What?
Goodbye.
That's sad. Yeah, because nobody could possibly do two podcasts in 1 week.
So you're going to be back next week?
Yeah.
Okay, fine.
I don't know. Not after this week, I'm not sure.
Can you cover the cable shows for
me? Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
And also VCR rentals and
celebrity deaths.
Yeah, and also the old tapes that I have that are jammed underneath the old...
I have a new segment next week. What's new on Betamax?
All right. All right, my friend, thank you so very much.
Thank you.
Randomshow.blogspot.com is the website, and you'll be on KSCO, and you're actually now doing a daily. You've promised to do a daily update on your blog.
That's my New Year's resolution.
Did you write today's?
20-minute free write, and that's up there.
It is?
Yes.
Cool.
All right. We're taking bets during the next break about how long you keep this up. I give them a week. All right.
Well, if anybody wants to split the pot with me, I'll just end on that date.
All right. Much love. We'll talk to you again next week.
Peace out.
All right. Take care.
Bye.
All right. Back on the other side with everyone. What the hell was that? All right. We got to go. Bye-bye. Hold on. Wait. Oh. Okay. Okay. Back on the other side. I'm out of practice.
That's the trouble around here. Talk. Oh, sometimes I think I must go mad.
We'll be back with more Schnauzer Logic.
I am still living with your ghost, lonely and dreaming of the West Coast. I don't wanna be your downtown. I don't wanna be your stupid game with my big black boots and an old suitcase. I do believe I'll find myself a new place. I don't wanna be the bad guy. I don't wanna do your sleepwalk dance. Ocean. Leave the fire behind. Swim out past the breakers.
realization is preceded by an immovable faith. He who would in his own person test the fact of God's presence can do so by a living faith.
Welcome back. We're 43 minutes in this second hour of Schnauzer Logic, the big new one for the year 2007, Robin Goldstein. Straightwide Buddhist vegetarian lesbian frame board chapter in the body of recovering transsexual woman, patent attorney, Boston Femur, master degree in city planning, www.schnauzerlogic.com, Robin at schnauzerlogic.com, 206-666-6540. They're doing a new Indiana Jones movie.
Yeah.
Did you hear about this? Thanks for nodding your head.
I did.
This is also, we have to relearn everything, don't you?
Yes, they're doing new, and I don't know why they give Rocky crap. If they're doing Indiana Jones or doing another Beverly Hills Cop.
I saw
with
Rocky.
Eddie Murphy. How was it?
It was terrific.
Yeah, I heard it's really
good. It was
slow.
I mean, it's not an action-packed film. It's, you know, it's kind of the end of the series, but he was fine. But thanks for, I mean, but I want to talk about Indiana Jones.
No, that's my point. They're bringing back all these old movies. That's fine. As long as they're done well.
Great. So tell us more about Indiana Jones.
Oh, no, that's all right. How are you doing? Welcome back, Sean Meehan.
How's it going?
All right. Are you excited about the new Indiana Jones film?
I enjoyed the series. I despised the second film, but the first and third I thought were very entertaining.
I guess Lucas and Spielberg have been working on a script now for like the last 18 years. Harrison Ford's going to be in it, for sure. They're going to acknowledge the fact that he's like 64 years old. Harrison Ford is 64 years old. Ally McBeal is banging a 64-year-old guy.
And hold she's, that thought what, 38?
Yeah, hold that thought in your head for a moment.
No, no. Please
that
don't
would make you lose
me.
Your appetite, wouldn't it?
Yeah, no more donuts for me, man.
And they're going to try to get Sean Connery.
That would be great.
Which was the best part of the whole thing.
He's going to be banging Ally McBeal?
Wow. Wow.
You know, Parviz, yeah, for somebody that wanted to start the new year unpolluted, you've done a really good job at...
I have. I have toned it down quite a bit.
Oh.
But when Sean Connery bangs a woman, that doesn't mean that...
Is that you, Danny?
Sex.
No.
All right.
That was good, Sean. I got that.
Thank you.
Yeah. Yeah, that was very nice. Do you do a Sean Connery?
I do. That's it. That's it. Yeah, and that wasn't offensive.
Wow.
Yeah, but if everybody can see what you were doing with your hands.
Okay, this is Sean Connery making love. Wow. This is Sean Connery saving Harrison Ford in the third installment of Indiana Jones. Yeah.
What if there were no 41st? What if this were the end of the Schnauzer Logic line? Would that be okay? I mean, if this were like the last show?
If this was the last show, I would have said...
Uh-huh. Yeah. Come on.
Wow.
Bring it on.
Wow, dude. Wow, that was so close. I could see what was going out of your mouth. Oh, man. Oh, God. Oh, wow.
Make him stop.
I know.
Please,
really.
I'm sorry.
Oh, my God.
Why are you here, Sean?
Oh, my God.
Next week, I'll protect you.
Thank you.
God, dude.
I felt another phone call.
Oh, let's say son of East and Happy New Year to Eliza Alfrichtig.
Hello.
Poor Eliza's been on the phone this whole time.
The whole time. I didn't know if she was still there. I thought maybe she would hang up on us. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to all of you as well.
Thanks very much. Sorry to pull you into the middle of this the shenanigans that are going on here.
Okay.
Bright
and sweet.
She's very innocent and sweet, and she doesn't really know what's going on. Get your hands on the table where I can see them, dude. All right. That's better. We got 12 minutes to go.
Out of control.
There, really.
Hold on 1 second. I'll be right back.
You got a plumbing update? A quick one?
I've been working a lot of hours. That's all I got to say.
But that's not enough time to even play the music.
Where did she go?
She's back.
Oh, okay, wait.
I am back. My friend Josh was at the door. I was letting him in the room.
Well, put Josh on the phone.
Oh, Josh, come here. They want to talk to you.
Am I on the radio?
Yes, you're on the radio. What are your intentions with this young woman?
Oh, I was just coming over to chat.
Uh-huh.
Hey, Josh.
What is that a euphemism for?
Josh.
Yeah?
Give us your best Sean Connery impression right now.
Wow. What channel am I on?
I have no idea.
He's doing the Saturday Night Live.
Will Ferrell.
Will Ferrell.
Oh, very good. That was very nice.
That was good.
California.
That was terrific.
California.
Yes, California. Also,
what's your connection to Eliza here?
Her dad owes me money. Not funny, just true.
Okay, I'm going to put Eliza back on.
All right, we were going to hope that was going to happen. Thanks very much. All right, you're a good guy.
Hello.
There he goes.
I think he's confused. I'll explain it to him later.
Does he know that he's gay?
Now.
I'm sorry.
How did you get mad at her? Why is it all me?
Funny is funny.
Robin talked to Eliza.
Hi, Eliza. How was your New Year's?
My New Year's was fun. I spent it in Portsmouth. I went to a Portsmouth event.
Oh, did you?
Yeah, it was like first night in Portsmouth. I listened to some old men sing Irish songs, saw some African drummers.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, it was fun.
And it's sort of unseasonably warm back east, is it not?
Yeah, it's very strange, actually. I went skiing, and it rained one of the days.
Yeah, that's what I've heard from people, is that out here we've had sort of a really horrible winter. I mean, it's been very cold. It has. It's dropped
into
the 30s.
Crazy? Okay. But it's been 60 and 65 during the day.
For 2 days, you've got like the memory of a chipmunk. It's like, you know, where'd I put my nuts? Where'd I put my nuts? Where'd I put my nuts?
We had like a week of cold weather at night.
You want to see my heating bill? It was more than a week. It's dropped into the 30s for almost a month. All right, I'm a pussy.
But during the day, you are. During the day, it's been...
Sherry's out of control!
Anyway, sorry, Eliza. Keep going. You went to first night Portsmouth?
Oh, yeah. It was called, like, the first night of the year. Mm-hmm. Portsmouth. It was a good time. Sort of low-key. My boyfriend and his roommate.
And that's not Josh that's in your room?
No, Josh is my friend.
Okay. Just checking.
Thank you for winking on the radio. That's great. No wonder he couldn't tell this was a radio show. I can't tell it's a radio show. And I'm on it.
So now still sitting here looking perplexed.
Yeah, that's
okay.
That's pretty much what we go for week after week. So you're back in Cambridge at this point. And are you into this reading period that we talked about the last time you were on?
I hate the schedule. Oh. I think it's the worst thing ever. We come back after winter break, quote unquote, and then we write our papers and take our tests. I'm currently in the middle of finishing my translation paper that's due tomorrow afternoon.
Wow. Well, thanks for taking the time to stop and play around with us a little bit here.
So a break.
Translation paper, what does that mean exactly?
I took a class about theories of translation, which was actually pretty interesting. And for our final project, we had to do our own translation. So I translated from a Spanish book called La Celestina. And I've been finishing that up today.
There are theories of translation?
Yeah, there are many. Actually, it was funny. I was talking to my boyfriend about this because I have to write a paper about like the theories I used in my translation. And he was like, why don't you just write one sentence? I looked up words in the dictionary that I didn't know.
Okay.
But there are a lot of theories.
I didn't understand. Well, so give us a couple of competing theories of translation, for example.
I can tell you a lot about it. There's Dryden, who thinks that word-for-word translation is a terrible thing.
Okay.
That you should sort of do a form of paraphrasing. There are people who talk about poetry and how it's impossible to translate poetry because there are so many connotations.
Oh, interesting.
Sort of prioritize. There are people who think that like translation is a sin, that it's impossible. There's a lot of interesting things.
That's mostly the French who feel that way, isn't it?
Well, it is impossible to translate
actually,
French.
A lot of the theorists were French.
Yeah. Not surprising. So part of what you do is you translate something and then sort of explain the theory behind that? Is that the final project?
Yeah, my final project. I've did my own translation and then do like a write-up of sort of what theories I agreed with in using my
Oh, interesting.
I had no idea. I just assumed that it was, as you say, basically a dictionary, and you kind of look it up word for word, and then things that don't match directly, you come as close as you possibly can.
Yeah, no, there were a lot of problems I had. I had to translate an acrostic, which is like a word going down.
Oh, sure.
And so I translated the actual acrostic from Spanish to English and then translated all the lines to it, too. It was kind of cool.
Very interesting. So that's a final that you have coming on, that you're working on now, a paper.
Yeah, tomorrow.
Okay. And you won't have any trouble finishing that?
I don't think so.
All right. Outstanding. And then how many other papers, how many other exams? Do they actually have exams at Harvard? Or is
yeah,
it just,
yeah. I have a French essay that's due on Friday, and then I have three exams in like a week and a half.
Wow. And then do you get a break before you have to go back to school, or is it just right back into it?
Yeah, we get a week off. I'm going to see.
Oh, okay, good. Life is good for the college student. Now, when we last met you were back on the newspaper, and you were doing your political cartoons again.
Yeah, I'm back.
So have you had an opportunity to kind of put pen to paper in the last week or so?
No, I haven't, actually. I'm doing one next week and one the week after.
And do you already kind of know what you're going to do? Anything in the current events that's kind of sparked your imagination?
No, I usually think about it that day, because I think the very sort of big global events I usually try and stay away from, because I think other people have better ideas about them. I usually do more local things.
Gotcha. And what's the sort of big news on campus now? Is it things kind of get quiet because everybody's studying? Because I know that what's interesting is at MIT, January was called IAP, which was the Independent Activities Period, and that's when you could take all of these classes that just were fun classes.
And yeah, that would be fun.
That was terrific. And so I would go back to school and love to be in Cambridge in January to take classes on how to build speakers from Dr. Bose. From Bose Sound.
Wow.
Taught a class on, Amar Bose taught a class, and you could sit in the laboratory. I took a strobe photography class with Harold Edgerton during IAP. These were chances for you to meet the people that, won the Nobel Prizes and put a whoopee cushion on their sheet. And it was good times. So that's a much better way to go to college. You should have gone to MIT. It's too late to transfer?
Good at math and science.
Well, if you looked at my transcripts, you'd see I wasn't either. And your brother Richie, the performer. As long as we're covering the Ganza Familia Alfred here, and he's going to be going to the Tisch School of Performing Arts?
Yeah.
This is a pretty big deal. I mean, there have been some famous people that have gone there.
Yeah, it's a really good school. I didn't even know he was that serious about acting before he applied, but apparently he's into it. So I bought a sweatshirt.
There you go. Now you know that it's the real deal.
Yeah.
Well, your folks must be very proud of the fact that pretty soon you're both going to be out of the house. All right. Well, was that me? Did I say that? I'm sorry. Anything that caught your fancy this week in the world of news, current events? When you're in your early 20s, do you make resolutions for the new year? Is that the kind of thing you do? Or is that fairly passe?
I made a resolution. I decided I needed to make more time to relax and not do things.
All right. That's a great resolution. That's the kind of thing that that you should carry with you your whole life. And how successful have you been at that?
Well, since I've been writing papers since January 1st, not so well. But,
right.
I'm hanging out, talking on the radio.
We love it. We love it. Sean, any questions for the college student?
No. It sounds fascinating. I'm more concerned, actually, that we're interrupting valuable translation time.
All right. Well, I'll get back to that then.
All right. Well, listen, thank you so very much.
Cool.
We'll talk to you again in a week.
Yep. Talk to you soon.
All right. Good. Take care. And thank your friend. Is it Josh?
Yeah.
Thank Josh for being such a good sport.
All right.
Take care.
Take care. Best of luck.
Bye.
Bye.
You know, I realize I'm not quite so old when I get filled with guilt when someone is working on their, some quarter or semester-ending paper.
Anybody want to...
Well, I don't understand. Filled with guilt? Why would you have guilt?
She's guilty for keeping
for
her from
taking time
it.
Away.
Oh, he doesn't have guilt.
Oh.
Yeah, I didn't understand it either.
Oh, good.
Don't feel badly.
Well, I rarely do.
It didn't even rise to my level.
What level's mine?
Yeah, next week.
during our big 40th show.
See your stinky feet down there?
No. Hey, Sean, are you going to be here next week?
Sean, he's got to be here next week. We're going to be talking with Ehrman.
Ehrman.
Absolutely.
Of Think Films.
Think Film.
That just sounds like a really amazing, it's an amazing little enterprise, and they have a pipeline to really incredible work.
Maybe you can get you tickets to movies at Sundance.
Yeah.
And then we can go.
I'd be more interested in talking to some of the roster of folks that they've done films with.
And you could do man on the street interviews with people at Sundance. And I'll go with you. And during the day when you're so busy, I'll ski.
I understand you have a lovely dress.
And I do. I have a beautiful dress. I have a couple that
suitable
I've never got
for,
to use.
For weddings and bar mitzvahs or going to the Oscars.
Academy Awards.
Or running a camera.
Andy? Well, with all these things I wanted to get to today, but once again...
We never have time.
This show happened instead. Danny Gans, go see him when you're in Las Vegas.
Yeah! Good old Danny!
What else? Anything you wanted to bring up in the minute and a half we have left, Dr. Meehan?
No. And think about charity. Seriously. Whether it's the one I mentioned or something else.
You're bumming us all out, you know. Usually that kind of mashup is reserved for Parviz.
I know, but I had to get it in. I had a minute and a half. I couldn't make it smooth. It had to happen.
All right. We love you anyhow.
Thank you.
All right. Are you a big charity giver?
Yes, I am.
Do you?
Yes, I do.
Do you believe in tithing?
I believe totally in tithing. As a matter of fact, every day I put a dollar in an envelope for tithing, savings, and investing.
Really?
Yeah. So every day I put $1 in an envelope, and Melanie and I do the same thing. So we've been doing it for over a year now. We did it last December 5th. So through the year, I've been giving my tithing money to charities. Like my mom is involved in a charity for South America, Venezuela.
Sure.
So, but as far as the savings, we put money into savings, but as far as investing, nothing's happened. But we're up to like $360-some-odd investing.
Well, if it's a dollar a week.
No, a dollar a day.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
It'd be around,
don't offend me.
It'd be around 360. So that'd be about $360-something dollars, right?
Right, because it's only been just a year. Yeah. So I'm very proud of that.
Well, congratulations.
Thank you. So yes, I do give because I believe if you give, it will come back to you tenfold. And look at this. I've been working overtime.
Yep. So
and complaining about it 10 times as much.
I'm like, you know what? You don't need the money.
And I know that you're a generous soul, so I don't have to ask you or put you
on
the spot.
Wait a second. You had to ask if I'm a generous soul?
Well, I don't know what your personal philosophy is regarding giving money away.
I have no problem. Sherry, would you like some money?
Sure.
Absolutely.
You want a donut?
Yeah. No, I've had my fill after I saw how many calories they had.
So you steal instead of give. Is that correct?
No.
Do good things and good things will happen to you.
That's right.
That's from My Name is Earl.
Steal a donut. I steal the other.
All right. Let me park the car before you open the door there, asswipe. He's already got...
Why am I an asswipe?
Because I pulled the microphone close to my mouth so that I could finish the show off. You've already got... I haven't put the car in park. He's... All right, we got to go. Yeah. I love you, Mom. I love you, Dad. I miss you both. Show up. Pay attention. Tell the truth. Don't be attached to the outcome. www.schnauzerlogic.com. Robin Schnauzerlogic.com. Go over to the iTunes Music Store. Give us a review. We haven't had one in a while. We love you guys, and we'll see you all next week. Want to take your headphones off now?
That's almost $1,000.
And
each envelope's a dollar a day. 360. That's almost $1,000.
All right, we got to go.
It's actually more than $1,000.
All right, we're done. Bye-bye.
So that's $2,000 between us.
This is over now, and you just got to deal with it.
I want you to know it's over.
It's over, Jenny. It's over!
It's over, Harvey. I'm sorry. I need to get on with my life.
You're still here? It's over. Go home. Go.
Elvis has left the building.
I'm in my vagina.
No.